Hi there, and welcome to Gems of Wisdom. Our host today is myself, Teresa Marone, and I'm here with my co-host, Lauren Santerre. And we're so happy that you've joined us for the stories of Bridget's Place as God transforms the hearts, minds, and lives of women today. Our stories all celebrate creative and abundant living for all religions, all communities, and all forms of spirituality. Our expert guests teach spirituality to you every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join us on Facebook at Bridget's Place and comment on our show. You might receive some wonderful surprise and certainly some inspiration. So I'd love to introduce my co-host today, Lauren Santerre. How are you today, Lauren?
Hi, Teresa. I am doing really well. It's great to be with you today. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. And I want to share with our listeners that Lauren is the executive director at Bridget's Place, and she brings a wealth of information. And her information stems from her background and how she spends her time just delving into all different forms of books and teachings and live events. And she's always coming up with something very, very special. So, Lauren, I know you have something really great for us today. I'm going to just pass by our usual explanation of the mission of Bridget's Place and get right into the gem of the day, because our very special guest that we're going to bring on in a little while is Betty Adam, and I'm going to let her do the mission statement at Bridget's Place. What do you think?
I think that's great. I think that's wonderful.
So, what's your gem of the day?
Well, the gem of the day today is in honor of Betty Adam, our guest today, and it is compassion. And for most of us, or many of us, we know that the word compassion means to suffer with or to feel the suffering or pains of others. And we have been talking a lot about resurrection and the cross, and kind of been this season of renewal, and what does that mean as we think about entering the Easter season. And so I was thinking a lot about compassion over this last week, and Betty, first of all, is a compassionate woman herself, but she's studied a lot about compassion in the last few years, and so I just wanted us to spend a little bit of time thinking about compassion today.
I think that's a beautiful word. It's the word of the season. You know, the word passion brings up so many different things, but when you add the C-O-M in front of it, it kind of takes it into something that's, sometimes compassion is involuntary. You know, you just feel it. And some people, like St. Bridget, is known first and foremost, everywhere you look her up, as being someone who is known for her compassion. So how does that relate to today's modern woman?
Well, you know, I think that's great and always wonderful to remember St. Bridget, as she's our namesake. And I found this really beautiful quote, and it says, "Everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Be kind."
Oh, yes, I've heard that. And every time I hear it again, it brings me memories of times that I could have been kinder. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I kind of brush through things. Do you ever feel like you just kind of brush through the day? Oh, I'm in a hurry. I've got to get home. I'm going to be late for my radio show at 4. You know, and you brush through people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, I had this encounter today, just very, you know, this very kind of simple encounter today in a store. And there was this woman, and she was trying to return something. And it was just sort of this frustrating experience for her, you know. And I just knew that there was a backstory to it, you know. And it kind of came out a little bit later in the conversation that she had a surgery earlier in the year. And, you know, I just knew that there was more kind of to her life than what was going on just in that interaction. And I think she was such a beautiful woman, you know, and she was so kind, and she just needed someone to work with her, you know, to be with her in that experience. And you know, everything really worked out, and we ended up really making a great connection. And, you know, I think that sometimes we just have to take a moment and take a breath and see the other person. You know, I think that compassion a lot of times is about seeing that there's something going on with that other person, and noticing in ourselves enough space that we can give that person some space, that we have space for them. You know, just having enough in our own self to have a breath, you know?
You know, there's that saying that if you spot it, you got it. That means if you see something in someone else that's irritating you, then you possess that same quality, all right? And I think that so many of us run through life with that mirror of what we're working on ourselves, which is, you know, it's very necessary. We all have to work on ourselves, but it's kind of staying in the ego. And the compassion comes when you kind of lay that to the side, if you're able to, and see something that you don't have in somebody else, you know, a suffering or a challenge or something that you really don't understand. Compassion comes when you really try to put yourself in that person's shoes. It's very easy to put yourself in some people's positions because you've been there before. But this is something that I'm working on. I've shared that with you. I think, Lauren, I'm working on trying to stay more in the moment and not to let, you know, the same things be reactionary for me. And the word of the day really works for me. I love the quote you brought. Do you have anything else to share with us about compassion?
Well, I think I just want to end and kind of go into our time with Betty saying that, you know, I just think it's such a great entry into her being with us today because, you know, really there's so much compassion as we think about and we'll hear from her on the stories of the women who surround Jesus at the cross. You know, I think so much of their love for Jesus was because he saw them, you know, he saw who they were and what was happening in their lives. And I think that's why they loved them. That's one of the reasons that they loved him was because, you know, he was in their suffering, but even more than that in their lives. And because of that, they were also with him in his suffering. And it's this beautiful back and forth, I think, story. And that service will kind of bring that to light. And Betty's going to tell us all about that today. And so I think that compassion, that suffering with, that being with someone else in their time of need is a great place to start our conversation today.
Thank you so much, Lauren. I appreciate that. And I would like to bring Betty Adam on as our guest today. I'm going to let her tell our listeners today a little bit more about her. And I'm going to be getting to know Betty as our listeners do today. And I'm so honored to introduce Betty Adam. How are you, Betty?
I'm just fine, Teresa. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
So tell everyone, you are the founder of Bridget's Place. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is correct. I mean, it was my initial idea. We would say that, yeah.
It was an idea that became fruitful?
Right. It was an idea that actually came to me on an airplane going to a conference in New York City. I was a priest at Christ Church Cathedral and was taking a little adventure. And I was sitting in the airplane and seat, and suddenly this thought came up, really a deep, deep thought of what is the church doing for the struggles of women? And it was kind of a resting thought that I began to, this is something I need to, you know, to think about. And I thought about it all during the conference and finally ended up going to St. John the Divine, which is in New York City, and asking the pastor's secretary if his assistant, if what they were doing to lift up the struggles of women, and I found out that they really couldn't answer that question. So I thought, well, maybe this is something new. Maybe this is something historic that we will begin to do in Houston. So.
And when was that, Betty?
Oh, it's now almost 20 years. 20 years. So it was a long time ago. And that was a time, really, when women were beginning to sort of transition from homemaking into the male world, the public domain. And so it was a time where we wanted to support the spirituality of women. We wanted to support them in the workplace. We wanted to support them at home. We wanted to just lend a support and recognize them and hear them into speech. That's the way we used to talk about it. But, you know, things have changed a great deal now, and women have their voices, and that's just wonderful. But that was the sort of the beginning of Bridget's Place. And now Lauren is taking it to a new she's raising the bar.
Lauren does raise the bar. But I do have a follow-up question on that, Betty.
Sure.
When you first started Bridget's Place, all right, so 20 years ago, I'm thinking this was mid-90s. Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, so what is the main difference that you have seen that women struggle with? I mean, certain struggles are from the dawn of time, but have you seen a real change?
Well, I can say that because of Bridget's Place, the church has changed. The church has, I mean, not just because of Bridget's Place, but because of the activities of women who would gather together and explore their own spirituality and explore the scriptures about women and learn much more about the women who were involved around Jesus, that we have been inspired to create new stories and to reimagine women. And I think because of this work, and of course a lot of this is scholarly work that's been done in the last two decades. Now women, I think, are recognized in their own right, and not just as the partner of Mr. So-and-so or the partner of whoever, but as a full human being. And I think the recognition is there now. And so I'm so grateful that I was part of the movement to have this happen. I don't think we're fully there. I think we're not really on par yet in terms of equality, and that's what I would still work for.
So you're a bit of a revolutionary.
Well, I suppose people have called me subversive, maybe. But
Let's segue a little bit into our event that's coming up, which is an annual event. It's called Easter in Memory of Her, and you wore another hat for this event. So tell us how this idea started. Were you on a plane to New York, or?
No, but I am a great reader of theologians, and I had been reading for some time, for 6 months or so, the work of Cynthia Bourgeau. It's Bourgeault. She is an Episcopal priest and a contemplative, and I've just soaked in her work, and she got very interested in Mary Magdalene and the women at the cross. And for an Easter event, she began to talk about how it was that the women are bookends for the Easter story. The woman with nard who enters the house of the leper and anoints Jesus because she recognizes him as a prophet, she anoints Jesus for his burial. And Jesus understands that she understands that he is a prophet. And so this is really the beginning. After that, Judas betrays Jesus. And so this is really the beginning of the Easter story. But this was sort of news to me. You know, I hadn't really placed her in that chronology. And so you go
right.
through, you go through the Easter story, and we have the familiar stories of the men who fled from the cross, but that the women were there. We know that the women were loyal and stayed at the cross and then went to the tomb, and then were there at the resurrection. And we do know that, but we don't know really too much about the thoughts and feelings of these women. So the bookend would be, of course, the women at the resurrection, at the tomb. And in one place in the Bible, it's Mary Magdalene alone, but in other places, it's the women. It's a group of women. And these are the women that came down from Galilee to Jerusalem with Jesus. They followed him. They were his followers. They were part of his inner circle. And we don't exactly know who all these women are, but we know that they followed him to Jerusalem. They were in Bethany, but they were at the cross. They, some of them went to the, saw the tomb where it was, and then returned to the tomb. So the bookend of the Easter story is the woman with nard, and then Mary Magdalene and the women at the resurrection at the tomb. And so,
is this the women that the story is about?
Well, some of them. Some of them, yes. This was kind of, I've gone on a bit about Cynthia Bourgeau, but because that was really the inspiration. I kept thinking, why don't we have some service that includes the women, or why don't we mark Monday of Easter with the woman with the nard who recognized Jesus as a prophet? Why can't we show these women and reimagine their lives? During the
and their conversations.
So I kept mulling over this, and I know April DeConnick, Dr. DeConnick, who's now the religious studies chairman at Rice University, and she and I are friends, and we had lunch one day, and I said, April, you know, how can we really embody this idea? And so she instantly came up with the idea of, well, let's have the women at the cross and hear the women's voices at the cross and have their feelings and reimagine them. And what would it have been like for them to go through that agony? What would it have been for the mother of Jesus to stand at the cross and see her son hanging there? What would it have been for the woman at the well, the woman of Samaria, who may well have come down to Jerusalem? What would it have been like for her to see Jesus on the cross? And so that's what Easter in memory of her is about. It's Easter in memory of those women. And we have the woman with nard. We have Mary, the mother. We have the woman from Samaria. We have the Mary of Bethany. And I think I've named them all, and Mary Magdalene. So April DeConnick and I began to work on the script, and it was so interesting because it was at Easter time. I mean, I'm sorry, it was at Christmas time. And so
It was at Christmas time.
It was over Christmas.
Oh, that's
holiday.
Perfect.
So, I mean, it was all about new birth, you know, Christmas time. And here we were writing the Easter story with the women in it. And I was on vacation. She was on vacation. And we kept, she would write up a particular woman's perspective, and then I would write another one. And so it went. And so then Sonia Bersanskas, who is this wonderful musician, creative artist, and April sort of wove the themes together into a script. And so we have not only the thoughts of Mary the mother, for example, who is in anguish at the cross, saying, come down, come down. Let me take your place. It should be me, not you, hanging there. And then after that, we have musicians that are also the performers in this musical performance is what I would call it. And they begin to sing, and then the audience begins to sing.
So it's interactive.
So it's very interactive. So, you know, it not only, I think, why should a person want to come to Easter in memory of her? But because I think it deepens our spirituality. It really deepens our sense of who Jesus was and what his message was. And it deepens it because it's quite raw, because these women are in agony and in disbelief that this is happening to Jesus, who preached the kingdom. And they're asking, where was that spirit that was within you that inspired me so much? And has God forsaken us? And it's really feelings that actually all of us, they're universal feelings that all of us can relate to, that, you know, what it's like for a mother to lose a child, or any huge sense of loss of a loved one, or the death of a wise leader, for example. And then also there's that theme of gratefulness that the women have for his teaching and for his message that comes through. It's quite an incredible service, and it's something that I think several people have said to me that it's their Easter, because somehow
it's what they do.
This is Easter for them. It's what several people have said to me. It takes a sort of the paradox of the cross. I mean, you have the juxtaposition of the horror and the violence, and yet the women at the cross are talking about the water of life, or the light of the world. The woman with nards, I knew who you were the moment I saw you, but then this wretched cross. So it captures the sort of incredible mystery of the cross. With the women denying that this is happening, and yet the reality that it is.
I think it sounds like the work of a lifetime. It sounds like something that is so important. And I wanted to bring Lauren in at this time. Lauren, you've said so many times to me, I know that, you know, we met right before this season came upon us, and started working together on the show and also on the board of Bridget's Place, which you can find at bridgetsplace.org. But you've always said that Easter is your favorite time of year. Would you kind of, you know, connect the dots for us that with Easter in memory of her?
Sure, yeah. You know, I think that there's really a progression, like I was talking about last week. We kind of ended on this note that there is this concept, this traveling through the, as Betty said, the pain and the sorrow of the cross, but that there's also this concept of the living water and the light. And as I was talking about before, you know, I think what is so beautiful to me in our faith tradition is that God conquers death, you know, and that is to me the real story of Easter. That is the hope that we have, is that Jesus' death is not the final act in the story. The final act is the resurrection. And so, you know, we have around us so much pain we see in the world, and you know, I think we just have to turn on the news or live a few years, and there's things to feel sorrowful about. We have plenty of opportunities to extend our compassion to suffer with other people, but Easter comes again. You know, there is always new life, there is always resurrection, and I think that the stories of the women who surround Jesus, they tell us about that resurrection, you know, and they get to experience it firsthand. You know, they get to experience Jesus being alive again, and that is miraculous indeed, and I think that is what for me keeps me going in my life as a Christian person. And I think people of faith have that deep-seated hope, you know, that we go through seasons of trial, but there's always new life to come. And so we live for that new life. And I think that is what you find in this service, is a place to experience that new life as you get prepared for the Sunday Easter service.
Well, thank you, Lauren. I think you said that really beautifully. And I did want to ask Betty one more question before we go into how you can experience this beautiful experience with us. And Betty, I wanted to ask you, when you were going through the process of writing this play and putting the music to it and the beautiful collaboration that you had with April and, you know, just bringing it all to life, when you first saw it and you saw it being performed for the very first time and you got to experience the beauty of your work and your inspiration, what was the thing that surprised you the most?
Well, I think that probably the message of Jesus comes through so clearly. And because of the music which I was part of the audience, the music, the refrains that are written that we say, "You are the light of the world." I was hungry, and you fed me. These sorts of refrains were so wonderful to internalize, and I really hadn't seen how deeply the message of Jesus comes through this the story of the women. And so I think that's what really surprised me. It was the power of the spirit within us. I mean, Holy Saturday is a time of quiet. It's in the void, as April would say. It's in the between the crucifixion and the resurrection. And somehow the service is very quiet and contemplative, and we are offered this time to reflect on our own stories. And through that, the message of Jesus, that there is the power of God within us now, and that power is in each of us waiting to be awakened, and that we are the children of God. And somehow that's why I think it's so important for people to attend this service, because it's about their own spirituality.
It's different, isn't it?
The women, but it's about our own transformation. And so just to hear the powerful story of Jesus as told by these women, that's what really came through to me, and I hadn't expected that.
Betty, thank you so much for sharing your stories with us today on Gems of Wisdom.
Thank you.
And Lauren, I know everyone who listens to this is going to want to come and experience this. Would you mind giving the details on how you can join us for Easter in Memory of Her?
Yes, absolutely. The service will be on April 4th at 4 p.m. at Christ Church Cathedral downtown. And that is located at 1117 Texas Avenue. There is more information on our website at bridgesplace.org, and we would love to have you come join us
for an interactive, inspirational, original play with beautiful music. And don't we have some very special guests helping out with that music?
Yes, we do. We have the great performers from the Houston Chamber Choir will be the cast for the performance, which is really a delightful celebration. And we're going to have a great time afterwards as well. A small reception will be held And we really welcome people to come out for that, a little behind-the-scenes Q&A with a little bit more information from both the cast, and Betty and April will be there as well to answer questions. So we'd love to have people stay for that and just enjoy a little
bit
more information.
That's immediately following the performance?
Yes, correct.
And would you say the performance is about an hour long?
Yes.
Well, that would be just a little bit of an insider look with Betty and April and the cast and yourself, you know, of course, as executive director of Bridget's Place. So I would highly suggest that everyone who wants to do something different this year for Easter, something that really marks a special moment and gives you some insight into your own inner wisdom. And I know I am really anticipating seeing this for the first time based on the fact that it's so interactive. I mean, that really intrigues me. So I really appreciate the opportunity to be part of that. And I wanted to thank you again, Lauren, for being my lovely co-host and bringing us the gem of the day today, compassion, and to invite everyone who's listening to sign up for the Bridget's Place newsletter that you do such a beautiful job on. And it's going to be even, you have one more newsletter that you're going to get out for before the Easter Memory of Her, right?
Yes, that's correct. The April newsletter.
Mm-hmm. Didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I was thinking that there would probably be one more. And you're going to be sending out all the information about that and also the Gems of Wisdom radio show that we do and everything else. We've got some really fun things coming up for the summer. So, Betty, do you have any parting words of wisdom for our listeners?
No, but I do want to just quote Mark Twain when you were talking about the gem of compassion when he said that we should all walk in the moccasins of the other. And I think that's a really good sort of line to think about in our compassionate walk. And I also want to just mention being kind to ourselves, that self-compassion and self-kindness, understanding that we're part of common humanity and that we're going to make mistakes. And so being kind to ourselves is a really important part of being compassionate with other people. Thank you so much, Teresa.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Betty, and thank you, Lauren, and tune in every week for Gems of Wisdom for informative and relevant content with a transformational theme. Our show brings together change makers, innovators, and creators, all heart-centered in service and committed to your spiritual growth. Thank you so much for joining us today.